One of my favorite personalities from American history is John Adams, who was the second president of the United States. Before he served our country as second president of the United States, he, of course, was vice president under General George Washington, who was the first president. And before that, John Adams served as a diplomat for our country, basically during the war years of the Revolutionary War. He was sent to many countries in Europe, specifically to try to get aid, try to get monetary aid, money, to help us fight in our war against the British for independence. John Adams said this, and I think it's a very famous quote from him. He says, "This country knows not, and never can know, the torments I have endured for its sake." And that is because John Adams was willing to serve his country no matter how and what obstacles he faced. Some of the obstacles that he faced, some of the examples that I can give you that he was willing to endure for his country, was, for instance, he sailed out from Boston Harbor. He was asked to go to France to seek help, monetary help from the French in the war against Great Britain. And the ship had to leave from Boston in the middle of winter. Now, if you've been watching the weather and what the northern states, New England states, have been going through this winter, they've had a very, very brutal winter. And so if John Adams had to sail out on one of those evenings, one of those days when a nor'easter storm was going through, which he actually did, this ship went out and it took on damage, eventually out in the Atlantic Ocean, began to take on water and came close to sinking. A little later on in that same voyage, they ran across a British man of war, which they had to face in battle and barely struggled through, and the ship made it onto France. Another time, another incident that he had to endure was, again, he was on a diplomatic mission to go to Paris, France, with his son, John Quincy Adams, who eventually became a president as well. They were on the way to France when the ship began to take on water, almost sunk, but they kept the ship going in the midst of a storm and eventually had to put into port in Spain, well off track of putting into port in France. From there, him and his son walked approximately 1,000 miles, even across the mountains, to go to Paris, France, to represent our country and again to ask for help. Many times he had to leave his wife for months at a time at home by herself as he was off serving his country in other parts of Europe. All this he did because he was willing to serve the United States of America. His willing attitude was an example for us to learn from and expresses the subject of the sermon today. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. And you might think with that particular introduction, this would be a kind of unusual place to turn to. But the willing attitude that John Adams had to serve his country is what we're going to talk about in one of the fruits of the Spirit today. Galatians chapter 5. And of course, verse 22 and verse 23 are the fruits of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul wrote as he was writing to the Galatians, the church in Galatia. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll go ahead and pick it up in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." And the fruit of the Spirit that I want to concentrate on today is the first one listed in verse 23, gentleness. Now, if you're reading in the Old King James, the word is meekness, which they are both synonyms, gentleness and meekness. The title of today's sermon is Gentleness, a Fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, a Fruit of the Spirit. Today we are going to examine the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness and learn how we can apply it in our lives. This is a really great, great fruit of the Spirit. And it's an important one for us to grasp as followers of Jesus Christ. It's also an important topic to consider as we begin to progress towards the Passover, because this fruit of the Spirit describes the Passover attitude that we need. The type of attitude, the Passover attitude that we need, is described by the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, or if you're reading in the Old King James, meekness. So during the message today, we will examine the significance of this fruit of the Spirit, examining the original Greek word, and then we will look at three aspects of practicing the fruit of gentleness in our lives. So first of all, we have to start by defining this word, because our English word, gentleness, and meekness as well, leads us to misconceptions of what was intended in the original Greek in the Bible. Let me show you. Our word gentleness in English, it means mildness or manners of discipline. Excuse me. Our word gentleness means mildness of manners or disposition. Mildness of manners or disposition. You might have heard the concept of he's a gentle guy or she's a gentle lady. And that's what you might think of with this particular word, gentle or gentleness. But that actually does not describe the meaning from the original Greek that was intended as the Apostle Paul wrote it. Also, the word meekness, if you're reading in the Old King James, you might think of a person being really meek. And unfortunately, when we think of the word meek, we think of somebody that is maybe kind of timid or even on the weak side. And so that gives us a misconception of what this word was really intended, the meaning that was really intended by it. The translation of the Greek word to the English does not convey the meaning that is intended in the Bible. So let me give you this word gentleness and what it means as it was intended in the original Greek. Actually, a better English word to describe this particular fruit of the Spirit is humility. Humility is a better word than gentleness or meekness. Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words says that the two words for gentleness and humility are actually closely linked. In fact, if you look up the word meekness in Unger's Bible Dictionary, it will refer you to the word humility. So let me give you now the definition of the word gentleness as it was expressed in the original Greek. And I actually have two definitions for you. I'm going to give you one now, and then I'm going to give you one a little later in the sermon. Here's the first definition from Unger's Bible Dictionary of the word from the Greek, gentleness. The Greek term for our word gentleness expresses a spirit of willingness and obedience. Let me repeat that. The Greek term that we have our English word gentleness or meekness from expresses a spirit of willingness and obedience. That's why I started out with the sermon talking about John Adams and his willing attitude to serve the country. Unger's goes on to say this as well, that the original Greek term for gentleness describes a lack of resistance to God's dealings with us. A lack of resistance to God's dealings with us. In other words, if God begins to deal with us and work with us, we don't resist against him. We're willing to obey God and go along with what he has for us. Now that original Greek term, and I'll spell the word for you, is praotes. And it's spelled like this. P-R-A-O-T-E-S. I know some of you like to take notes. Let me give it to you again. P-R-A-O-T-E-S. And it's pronounced praotes. That was the original Greek word that we have translated into English as gentleness or meekness. Now, you've heard me say this before, that the King James translators in the early 1600s, when they translated our Bible into Old King James, into English, into the Old King James language, they took the original Greek words or the Hebrew words and they fit our English word in the best that they could. Most of the time they did an excellent job. But every now and then they didn't quite hit the nail on the head. And this is one of those times where they had an original Greek word and they translated it into English, and it really, our English word doesn't describe what was intended in the original Greek. And that's what I've been trying to get the point across here. So this first definition expresses a spirit of willingness and obedience and a lack of resistance to God's dealings with us. A willing attitude, in other words. Let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, this is a section of Scripture that we will be looking at, the foot washing attitude when we partake of the foot washing at the Passover service. This expresses, this section of Scripture, Jesus Christ and His willing attitude, and expresses this fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about today. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, let's begin reading in verse number 1. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil already having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. So we see the build-up here of the Passover service and knowing that Judas Iscariot is about to betray Him. Then verse number 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. Verse number 5, after that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Now, all of you are familiar with this section of Scripture, the foot washing that Christ did for the disciples. But now, let's backtrack and take a look at these Scriptures and show the willing attitude that Jesus Christ had as this Scripture is being described. First of all, verse number 3, notice the phrase, He had come from God. He had come from God because He was equal with God. Jesus Christ was God, just like God the Father was God. You don't have to turn there, but you can put down in your notes Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul, talking about Jesus Christ, said, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth." So Jesus Christ was the one that created everything. He was God. And He came, He had come from God. He was equal with God. But notice, Christ humbled Himself to become a man. He had come from God, was God, but became a man walking on this earth. He had to be willing to do that. He had to be willing to lower Himself down from the God plane, being God equal with God, with all power, to become a physical human being like you and I. But He had that willing attitude. Now let's continue on. Notice the phrase in verse number 3, the last part, He was going to God. That means He was going to die, His life would be sacrificed, and He was going back to be with the Father. He had to be willing to go through that sacrifice again. So He was already willing to come down from the God plane, lower Himself down. Then He was willing to go through the torture, the beating, and all that He went through, the sacrifice, to be nailed to the stake and die. He had to be willing to do that as well, so He could go back to God. Then now, verse number 4, we see that He rose from supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel, poured water into a basin, and then began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. He took on what a servant back in those days would do, the job of a servant. A servant had to wash the master's feet when he came in to the home. That's what a servant did. Jesus Christ kneel down and wash the disciples' feet, the job that a servant would do. Again, he had to be willing to do that. You know, he didn't have the mindset of saying, I'm God. I was all-powerful God. I created these men that are in front of me. Why should I lower myself down and wash their feet? He didn't have that kind of attitude. No, he had the attitude, I'm willing to do this, to humble myself and wash the disciples' feet. So again, this section of Scripture describes that willing attitude, which expresses the fruit of the spirit of gentleness. The willing attitude, the Passover attitude. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Notice, let's begin reading in verse number 28. Christ is telling the disciples here, and he's telling us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So Jesus Christ says to the disciples and to us to learn from him. Learn the way he did things. Learn from his attitude. And be followers of him. Continuing on, he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Gentle and lowly in heart. In other words, he had the willing attitude. And he was humble. And he expressed that in the previous scripture that we read in John chapter 13. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We can be at peace by following the example of Jesus Christ. So he says he is gentle and lowly, humble before God, and willing to carry out the Father's plan. To come here, to lower himself down from being God, to be a human being, to die for all of our sins, so that we could eventually have access to eternal life. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown adds this to verse 29. It says, as Christ's willingness to empty himself to the uttermost part of his Father's requirements, so does he invite all of us to follow him. He invites us to follow him with the kind of willing attitude, the gentleness that he had in his life. So this defines partly the fruit of the spirit of gentleness, the willing attitude. And that brings me to the first aspect of how we can practice, how we as disciples can practice the fruit of gentleness in our lives. And I have three of them. Number one, we must have a spirit of willingness and obedience. We must have a spirit of willingness and obedience to practice the fruit of the spirit of gentleness in our lives. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And verse number 7. Again, this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 is a prophecy of the things that he would go through as he was arrested and tortured and eventually died for all of us. A prophecy of what he would go through. Isaiah chapter 53, and notice verse number 7. Isaiah 53, 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Now, for any one of us, as a human being, if we were being seriously oppressed, if we were living back in the times of the Romans, when they tortured people and actually put them on the stake to crucify them, if we were going through this kind of oppression and affliction, we'd be crying out. I know I would be, probably like a stuck pig. And yet, he knew what he was going through. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't open his mouth at all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He didn't try to defend himself again, because he was willing to carry out the Father's plan to go through with the sacrifice for each and every one of us and all of mankind. He was so willing, he did not try to defend himself at all. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes about the same thing that he went through. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 21 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, and I'll add each and every one of us were called. For to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps, that we should follow in his footsteps. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightly. That right there, what we're reading in verse number 23, shows the spirit of willingness and obedience that Jesus Christ had. Even though he was being tortured tremendously, probably more than any human being that ever lived and walked on this earth, he did not revile or strike back. And that would be hard for any human being to do. But he was obedient to the Father's will for him. And he committed himself to him who judges right. He was committed to the Father's plan. And he followed through. Just like the prophecy that we read in Isaiah 53. He completed it. And followed through. James chapter 3. Just a few pages back. James chapter 3. In verse number 17, again, we're talking about this first aspect of the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, a willingness and obedience. Verse 17, James 3, but the wisdom that is from above, and wisdom comes from God above, wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That scripture there describes Jesus Christ. And it should describe us as followers of Jesus Christ as well. Notice in the middle of the verse, gentle and willing to yield. They are linked together. And it's part of the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. Gentle and willing to yield. Full of mercy, good fruits. And the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness is a good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we will begin reading in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Notice that both of those English terms are linked together here in this particular description of Jesus Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Now verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Verse number 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Notice this phrase in verse number 5. The obedience of Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit of gentleness is typified by Jesus Christ our Savior. His willingness to submit to God's plan. And that's the first aspect of building this fruit of the Spirit into our lives as disciples. Is a willingness and obedience to God's plan for us. Number 2. The second aspect of living this fruit of the Spirit in our lives is being humble before our God. Being humble before our God. Having true humility as Jesus Christ did. Remember I said at the beginning, defining this particular word from the original Greek, a better word is humility to describe what this fruit of the Spirit is. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and we will begin reading in verse number 20. Matthew 20, and verse number 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom." So this she was asking for Jesus Christ to have both of these sons at the right side and the left side ruling in the kingdom. Verse 22, "But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am to be baptized with?' And they said to him, 'We are able.'" In other words, he was saying, "Are you willing to go through all that I'm about to go through? The torture and all the things." And they said, "Oh, yes, we can do it." Verse 23, "So he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared to by my Father.'" Now, verse 24. This is what I want to concentrate on more now in this section of Scripture. "And when the 10 heard it," the 10 disciples, "they were greatly displeased with the two brothers," the other two disciples. So they were saying, "Okay, looks like these guys are maneuvering themselves to get next to Christ, to get the position, to be on the right hand and on the left hand, to be number one at his right and at his left." But Jesus called to himself and said, he straightens them out, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles," that's the Gentile rulers that have ruled mankind's history for so many 6,000 years, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. But those who are great and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." He was saying, don't be like the rulers throughout history have been. They want to be the kings and the princes, and they want to rule over everybody. They want to have their pockets lined, and they want to put everybody else down. Don't be like them. But to be a true ruler, you should be a servant, just like I am. Of course, I'm paraphrasing it now. Verse 27, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That is true humbleness there, what Jesus Christ did, true humility. Even though he was God, all-powerful God, who created this planet and created the universe, created mankind, all the beautiful things that we see outside. And he has that power. He came to serve mankind, not to lord it over the way that human rulers want to do. And that's what he was telling the disciples. Don't try to be like the rest of the rulers have been throughout the ages, but be like me and be a servant. Christ came to serve and to give his life for mankind, and that expresses the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. "For thus says the High and the Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." This second phrase here tells who this is. This is God, because God, only God is holy. who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Now, notice the middle of verse 15. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. God says, I dwell, I have a relationship with, and I will make part of my family those who have a humble attitude and spirit. And that's what Jesus Christ is looking for and what God is looking for. Continuing on, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. So much starts in the heart of mankind. And to be humble like Jesus Christ, it has to begin in the heart. God is above everyone. He's perfect and holy. He inhabits. He has all of eternity that he inhabits. And God reaches down and dwells and lifts up those who are humble in his sight. Notice the phrase here, contrite and humble, in verse number 15. That may be rephrased, genuinely humble. Somebody who is genuinely humble. And God says, I dwell with those who have a contrite and humble spirit. And it expresses the fruit of the spirit of gentleness in a disciple's life. I'd like to read the last part of verse 15 in the paraphrase for you. It reads like this. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. Let me repeat that for you again, the last part of verse 15 in the paraphrase. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. That can be done for us as we approach the Passover in the days of unleavened bread, as we begin to examine ourselves and reflect upon the things that we've done this last year and the sins that we have committed, and we come before God in a repentant attitude. God says, I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. David was an example of that. He sinned. We know it. We have the account in the Bible. Not only did he commit adultery, but he killed Bathsheba's husband. Murder. And yet, he was refreshed by God because he had the spirit, the willingness to repent. He humbled himself. Psalm chapter 51, we won't go there. It's a good section of scripture to read before the Passover. The repentant attitude that David had. He was refreshed by God. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. And he can do that for us as well. And it expresses the fruit of the spirit of gentleness. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1:21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, I could add a humble attitude, a willing attitude, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness refers to a meek and humble attitude, a readiness to be taught by God's word. You know, when we sit down in the morning or in the evening, when we study our Bibles and we ask God to show us more of his word, reveal more so that I can understand and live and follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, we have that meek and humble attitude, a readiness to be taught by God's word. And again, that expresses that fruit of the Spirit. James chapter 3, just a page over. James chapter 3 and verse 13. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The really wise person learns from God's word. He's humble. And he's ready to be taught by the word of God. Meekness here in verse number 13 describes a teachable spirit without resistance, without disputing or questioning. And that was the attitude of Jesus Christ. He didn't dispute the Father's plan for him. He was willing to complete the Father's plan. And we need to be willing to do what God has for us as well. And that's the second aspect of building this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, is humility. To be humble before our God, ready to be taught by His Word. Number three, the third way of practicing the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness in our lives is being willing to prefer others to ourselves. To be willing to prefer others to ourselves. In other words, looking out for our brother. This is where I'm going to give you the second definition of the word gentleness from the original Greek, praotes, according to Vine's dictionary. Here it is. Praotes, that's that original Greek word, is the opposite of self-interest and self-assertiveness. Let me repeat that. Praotes, which is that original Greek word that we express gentleness with. Praotes is the opposite of self-interest and self-assertiveness. Vines goes on to say, it is not occupied with self at all. When you're expressing the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, defined the way it was in the original Greek, not only is it a willing attitude, but you're not occupied with yourself at all. You're occupied with your brother. You're your brother's keeper. You're looking out for him and not yourself. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Make sure I turn to Philippians. This morning in Jonesboro, I quoted Philippians and turned to 2 Timothy and started reading there. And everybody was looking at me funny. And then I realized where I was at. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Again, this part of the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, willing to prefer others to ourselves. The Apostle Paul expresses this in his letter to the Philippians. Philippians 2, verse number 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, or I could add humbleness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That expresses the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness in the second definition of it. Verse number 4, let each of you look out not for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Looking out for the interests of others. If everybody on this planet did that, we would be living in a better world, wouldn't we? If the rulers, if the presidents and the kings and all the rulers of the world, the governors, the mayors, and all of us, if we all looked out for our brother's needs and took care of each other, we would live in a beautiful world. And yet this world, 6,000 years of history, has been selfishness, looking out for number one, exalting myself above everybody else. And that's not Christ's attitude. But if we're expressing this fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, we will look out for our brother, as it's expressed here by the Apostle Paul. This will happen in the kingdom when Jesus Christ returns. And it's going to be taught to look out for our brother. We're not there yet. And that's why we pray for your kingdom to come. But we do, as we are disciples here today, to express this fruit of the Spirit, we need to be looking out not for self, but for others. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This time I can freely turn to 2 Timothy and I'll be right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 24. The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and admonishing him, and as his work would be helping the church and helping and serving the Apostle Paul and the brethren as well. He writes this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. Notice that phrase, gentle to all, expressing the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, watching out for others. This word quarrel here, and I've mentioned this to you many times before, the Apostle Paul liked to use military terms in his writing. This word here, quarrel, was a military term that referred to hand-to-hand combat. So, in other words, hand-to-hand combat, like somebody that's really going at it. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy as a disciple, don't go at it, you know, hand-to-hand, really going at it. But be gentle, patient, able to teach. The Nelson Study Bible adds this. The Lord's servant must not battle with words, but instead be gentle and kind to all. Not battling with our words, but being with our actions and our attitudes, being gentle and kind to all. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 2. One of the gifts of our calling. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So the Apostle Paul, he's pleading for the Ephesians to walk in the manner that they were originally called into. Then in verse number 2, he tells them how to make this walk. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. So he tells the disciples, the Ephesians, how to walk worthy of their calling. And it includes gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. The Nelson Study Bible adds this. These are attitudes that Christ demonstrated when he was on the earth. These attitudes do not come naturally, but must be cultivated by the determination to place others above ourselves. And then the Nelson Study Bible adds this. Only the Spirit can empower us to treat people this way consistently. Only God's Spirit working within us can help us to treat people this way. And our willingness to want to treat people this way as well. With gentleness, lowliness, long-suffering, and bearing with one another in love. Colossians chapter 2. Just a few pages forward. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12. This section of Scripture has a title to it. And the title is The Character of the New Man. Character of the New Man. In other words, the new man walking with Jesus Christ and God. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. And notice here, what's going to be put on. These are some of the fruits of the Spirit listed here. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. We've already been talking about this. Meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That's again a part of this fruit of the Spirit. Looking out for others is having a forgiving attitude towards your brother. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Humility here, again, means having a lowly attitude, like Jesus Christ did. And meekness or gentleness here, a lowly attitude towards others, towards our fellow man. You don't have to turn there, but you can put down in your notes if you'd like to. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, where it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We will begin reading verse number 2. Romans chapter 12. And verse number 2. The Apostle Paul writing to the Romans here, very seriously, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So in other words, part of the transforming of our mind is not to think of ourselves so highly and so proudly, but to be focused on others and their needs as well, willing to put others before self and practicing the fruit of the spirit of gentleness. Verse number 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Again, this is part of that transforming of the mind process. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Willing, again, as I said, to put others before self in practicing this aspect of the fruit of the spirit of gentleness. So we see that from the original Greek, to practice this fruit in our lives, we have to have that willing attitude like Jesus Christ did, the foot washing, the Passover attitude. Also, we have to be humble the way that Jesus Christ was, as he said, learn from me. And also, we have to look out for our brother as well. That is part of the fruit of the spirit of gentleness as well. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures now in closing. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I don't know if you ever realized before, if you'd ever looked at these fruits of the Spirit and studied them, that this fruit of the Spirit reflects the Passover attitude and the willing attitude that Jesus Christ had. And yet it does so perfectly. Matthew chapter 18. And we can, as we pray, as we get down before God in our daily prayer, we can ask him, God, I know all of your fruits of the Spirit. Lead me by your Spirit so that I can reflect all of the fruits of the Spirit, but especially as we go towards the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, fill me with this particular fruit of the Spirit so that I can live and follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 18, let's begin reading in verse number 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples had it all wrong. They did not have the servant's attitude that Jesus Christ did. They would learn, and they're learning from Christ, but they're still thinking, who's going to have that position? Who's going to be the greatest? Then Jesus called a little child and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted, focus on that word converted, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are strong words. If you don't become with a childlike attitude, a humble attitude, like a little child would, that a child that says, lead me, Father, the way, teach me and help me, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, verse number 4, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, be humble like I was. Learn from me. And you will be ruling beside me. You can draw a line in verse number 3 between the word converted to the word humble in verse number 4. Because that's what a converted person is. You're reflecting that kind of attitude that Jesus Christ expressed. To be humble, expressing the fruit of the spirit of gentleness. And that leads us to the final scripture. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. We were there previously talking about looking out for our brother. Now let's take a look at this attitude that Jesus Christ had, this willing attitude that we've been talking about throughout this sermon. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 5 through 9. This section of scripture here reflects the attitude of Jesus Christ. And it's the Passover attitude, the kind of that the followers of Jesus Christ should reflect as well, the mind of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. The Apostle Paul writes, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he says, reflect the kind of mind that Jesus Christ had. Now, verses 6 through 9, he's going to tell the mind of Jesus Christ in the way that he thought. And it's the willing attitude. Who, verse number 6, being in the form of God, because he was God, on the plane with God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But, verse number 7, made himself of no reputation. And how did he do that? Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That describes the mind of Jesus Christ. That willingness, although he was God and the creator of all, he was willing to lower himself down and become like a human being and walk like you and I as human beings. Verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation. Oh, I already read that, I'm sorry. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse number 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse number 8 describes what we've been talking about in this sermon. Humbled himself and became obedient to the Father's plan, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That expresses the willingness of Jesus Christ. That is the mind of Jesus Christ. And that is the fruit of the spirit of gentleness. It's the Passover attitude, the willing attitude, the foot washing attitude. As we partake of that Passover, you can think of that. This is the mind of Christ. And I don't know if we really think about that as we do that in that part of that service, as we follow Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, therefore, because of that willing attitude that Jesus Christ had, the mind of Jesus Christ, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. The disciples were asking, you know, how do we become great in the kingdom? This is it, the mind of Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. The spirit of the fruit of gentleness is having the mind of Christ. That willingness that Christ had, not only did he understand God's plan, but he fulfilled God's plan to come into subjection in obedience to the Father, so that he could bring about salvation, the opportunity for salvation for all of mankind. And brethren, we need the fruit of the spirit of gentleness, the mind of Christ, to be a disciple of Christ. This, as I said at the beginning of the sermon, is a really great, great fruit of the Spirit. And we need to reflect upon this as we go towards the Passover and to practice it in our lives, to ask God to help me practice this in my life, because it reflects the Passover attitude, the foot washing attitude. Let us be humble. Let us have the mind of Christ before God and before our fellow man as we walk with God towards the kingdom of God.